The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. More than 70 years of Ed Morse quality and service, family-owned dealerships across the state of Florida. Wow, we are so pleased for their fantastic support of all of Ira's work on JoeBucksFan.com, his three columns a week, and the Ira Kaufman Podcast, which has become not only a Tampa Bay sensation, but a worldwide sensation. The Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa website is edmorsecadillactampa.com. Their dealership is just west of 275 on Fletcher. And at the website, the season's best sales event is on. So many great offers through the end of this year. 0.9% APR for qualified buyers on all new 2019 Cadillac models and 0% on 2018s. Fantastic stuff. I'm just scratching the surface there. edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, incredible opportunities there as well. Get to the website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. The dealership is right there on Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. And as always, Ed Morse, you can count on them to be serving the community. The Feeding America Food Drive runs through November 15th. Ed Morse will proudly donate non-perishable goods for every vehicle sold. And that's not just not one can or something. There's quite a bit that's donated as they support the community through Feeding America. And, of course, the brand new XT4, that's in. And right there at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on the stage of Tampa Bay sports. He is in the house. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. That's Ira clapping, if in case you're wondering. Lee DeKemper is here. We are fired up to take this midterm Tuesday, Ira, halfway through the season. Big vote out there today for the people. And how are you, Sage?
I vote no on referendum one. Should the Bucks regime be returned intact? Now, Lee, we got light jazz playing in the background. But you know what's a lot more appropriate?
A freaking, anything Van Halen.
A freaking funeral dirge. A funeral dirge.
Somebody blowing taps.
I said this was the crossroads game. Lee, what the heck's happened? That 2-0 thing, it looks like a freaking mirage. It's from 7 years ago. They pulled off the biggest upset of the first half of the season, in retrospect. Yeah. Going into New Orleans and beating the Saints in a shootout. The Saints ain't lost since. The Bucks ain't done diddly since. Lee, Buck fans are outraged, and more importantly, they're indifferent to this football
team. It's getting
and
there.
Do you blame them?
No.
You had an incident yesterday. What happened? You said you were next to some guy who was watching that game, and the guy couldn't believe what he was watching.
This guy's absolutely hardcore Bucks fan. He cannot consume enough Bucks media. And what I mean by that is, if there's a podcast for the Bucks, he listens. If there's an article written about the Bucks, he reads it.
Well, this is the only Buck podcast. We know that.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to the boring ones.
And he listens to Steve's.
And this guy's so hardcore. And, you know, it's becoming a tradition around these parts. You start focusing on the draft right around by Halloween, Thanksgiving at the latest. So he'll actually start. He's got like three or four different people, NFL draft media, that he focuses on. He does research on players. Then he goes to the East-West Shrine Game in St. Pete to make sure the notes he has on the players matches what he's seen on his own. This guy's hardcore. And after that 33-yard stunt that Curtis Samuel had Sunday, which was just pathetic defense all around.
Was that the Keystone Cops play? Or was
Keystone,
that
Cops. Keystone Cops. It looked, and a reader on Joe Bucks Fan said this, it looked like the Bucks were grabbing for their Samuel's flag. Only thing was, it wasn't flag football. All the Bucks were waving at him, like waving goodbye or something. It was like they kept arm tackling, waving, and missing. Anyway, this guy said after that play, he looked at me and he said, in a very forlorn, solemn tone, I deserve better. And I think it summed it up for every Bucks fan. You're asking about this music? The way some Bucks fans reacted, and I won't blame them, the appropriate song would have been Eddie Van Halen's Eruption, because they erupted, all right.
Steve, when they write the story of the 2018 Bucks, I know it's only... only half the chapters have been written, Steve. But you and I both know, Steve. Well, when the book's written, it's going to say, man, they sure wasted a lot of good offense, this team. Steve, there's no reason to think this team's going to go 7-1 in the second half of the season, make a playoff run. Even 6-2 might make it interesting, and there's no reason to think they're going 6-2. It's a constant theme. I'm not getting off it. They're not tough enough. They're just not tough enough. Finesse, targets, that's nice. But ultimately, that's not enough, Steve. They don't have enough. Carolina's tougher. They're more physical, even with the beat-up offensive line. They put a lot of pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Cam Newton's over there reading the Carolina phone book. it's bad, Steve. And red zone defense, absolutely atrocious. Can you hold them to one freaking field goal out of five chances? No. They got to score five straight touchdowns. Cutter talked about a disgusting pattern that has emerged, Steve. It's a loser's pattern. You fall behind, you make a little run, you get your fans excited, and ultimately when the scoreboard blinks, you're a loser. And here they are, firmly on the bottom of the NFC South, where they're very comfortable. Steve, we got big trouble, and I don't know who's going to survive, if anybody.
I'm keeping a positive attitude. Because I'm focused on next year already. It's over. You know how this ends. Lee knows how this ends. I'm speaking for both of you.
I have an idea.
The fans know how this ends. Dirk Cutter's not going to survive. He doesn't deserve to survive. He's already shown that he's got no answers. It's his defense. He's the captain, the grand marshal of this thing, and it's garbage. There's no savior coming out the back door here. It's a veteran defense. Where's the Super Bowl rub off? These guys are supposed to rub off on everybody, and when the going gets tough, it's a mess.
I'm glad you're not blaming all this on little Mitch Unrein's disappearance
Cutter,
over here, Steve.
Cutter has failed. He gets a big fat F with Jameis Winston. That's the reality. And anybody who thinks Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to go on a 6-2 run, there's no reason to think that that's the case. It's over for Cutter. He looks like dead man walking. And so I'm looking forward to what comes next.
And if you're listening, Mr. Light, your day's coming on this podcast later this week.
Thursday. Thursday's
late. I must be a weirdo. I'm not ready to start shoveling dirt in Cutter's face yet. Next three games, they can win those next three games. I'm not saying I expect them to go on a Super Bowl run, but if they go 3-0, things might get interesting. So I'm not really there yet. I'm trying to be objective. I'm trying to be fair. These three next, they're winnable games.
That's why Fitzpatrick still has the job, Steve, because they haven't officially thrown in the towel, unlike you and I. But they haven't. And I think they're thinking like Lee is.
Wait a minute. They haven't officially thrown in the towel. So what was the first half yesterday?
That's a different kind of throwing in the towel.
I'm talking about the mentality of ownership. Okay. Mentality of ownership. They're not giving up. The mentality of Cutter, not giving up. And that's why I continue to say, and I hate to agree with the Kemper on anything, but if they lose this game, and I don't care if Fitzpatrick throws six touchdowns, if they lose this game, Winston's going back in, and he's not coming out the rest of the season, nor should he. It'll all be about deciding about Jameis Winston, and I don't think they've made that final decision. And I'm going to throw one more thing out, gentlemen. Ooh. What's today's date? It's about a year ago this time that I started talking about John Gruden coming back to the NFL. I get an 80 on that. I don't get 100 because I said, I think there's a chance he's coming back to the Bucs. That was wrong. But he did come back to the NFL, and I said, this time the rumors are different, and I told you why. And by the way, I can tell you now that it's a year later, I can tell you who my source is, because last year I used the DeKemper line. Unnamed people have told me, well, last year he was unnamed. Now it's Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon, who had just talked to Gruden, you know, the day before, spilled his guts to me and said, I think he's coming back, and said why. Well, anyway,
he offered him a job, didn't he?
It's November 5th, so I'm going to throw this out there. I might have a little bit of a crazy solution here, and I think the Kemper's going to like this. If Cutter goes, and I believe he is going, and we've mentioned this guy's name, but the more you look at it, and I'm reading new stories about the guy, and he says, well, my door is cracked open a little bit. Bruce Arians might make a little bit of sense. And, Lee, I'm going to tell you the major reason why.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is he a successful head coach, he's got a heck of a record, but I think even more importantly in this situation, by the way, he said the Cleveland job's the only one he might consider. I don't believe him for a second. I think if the Bucks throw enough money at him. Anyway, he is a big believer in number three, a big one.
Oh, yeah, they have a relationship
and
for years.
He still hasn't given up on Winston, much to the chagrin of of the Winston haters out there.
Has he talked about it recently?
Well, yes, he has.
Has he? Okay.
Yes, he has. And I think ownership might look at Arians saying, not only is this an upgrade, but he might be able to get the best out of Winston. We'll give him $20 million for 1 year and see what the hell happens.
Ooh, 1 year.
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance.
Oh, he's talking Jameis, not Arians.
No, I'm talking about Jameis. Give Jameis the million.
Okay.
So, Lee, you'll be happy to think that I see a scenario where Winston comes back in a Buck uniform next year.
Yeah, Arians, you know, I'm just leery about his health. You know, that's why he retired. He's having health issues. And now someone on JoeBucksFan.com commented that here's how you get Arians back. You throw money in his face. And you build the Glazers will build him an urgent care facility in a spare bedroom.
Now he's going to have to bring in a hell of a defensive staff, Steve. That goes without saying. But he's a good offensive mind, you know, just like Cutter.
Todd Bowles, is he good enough?
But Arians has a very good record as a head coach. It's strong. Two-time coach of the year, guys.
Yeah.
Two times.
And one time substituting for Pagano.
Well, I don't think he won it that year.
Oh, he didn't?
I think he won it two other years.
I think Mike Smith was a two-time coach of the year, too.
Never mind that, Steve.
Oh, okay.
You always come up with this stuff. Anyway, that's my November 5th little nugget. But, Steve, other than that, this team's a disgrace. 5 out of 6, Lee. Really? Five losses in 6 games. And the way they're doing it, I don't care what the final score is, Steve. They're giving up 40 points. I'll say it again. 40 points on the road. 5 games. Not 1 game. 5 games.
And no roof over their head.
40 points, Steve. Not 35. 40.
No, it's ridiculous. I believe it's 4 games they've allowed 30 points in the first half. I mean, it's a joke. Oh. It's really,
you know,
a joke.
What I'm starting to get tired of? And I understand where Cutter's coming from. But I gave Lovey hell for this. And now Cutter's starting to do it. Oh, we're not getting enough turnovers. Would you go play for some freaking defense for a change? Get off the field. You know, a punt's a turnover. Make a stop. Get off the field. Quit whining about games of chance. And that's what turnovers are. Games, I am so sick of that. Have your freaking defense make a stop. Punt the ball or force a punt. And if you can't figure it out, go find someone that can. I don't care if it's Duffner. I don't care if it's a defensive line coach. I don't give a damn. Make a stop. Don't whine about, oh, they scored a touchdown on us. If we only would have had an interception. Baloney.
The angles to the ball, Steve, the tackling are both terrible. And on November 5th, we heard a new phrase introduced into the lexicon of analysis. And I got to tell you, it's a very scary phrase if you're a Bucks fan. Steve, tell me if I'm wrong. Did Dirk Cutter say lack of effort in a couple of situations? Did he use that phrase? I believe he did.
Yeah, he questioned pursuit, which is questioning effort. And
who does that?
The whole thing is a train wreck. It's as messy and terrible as it could possibly be.
He used the word train wreck in relation to the Bucks defense so much. It's lost its
last time you
kick.
Guys used train wreck this often, it was the 10-game losing streak with Raheem. When they did quit. And I'm not saying they quit.
They did.
But we know what quit looks like. We do.
Ira, what's going on in this defense? If it's not quit, what's going on? If they're not quitting, then is the general manager that bad? Did he pick that bad of groceries here that they all suck?
I think it's got to be the system, the scheme, the miscommunication.
Well, wait a minute. It's the same scheme that that allowed opponents through the second half of the 2016 season, 17 points a game.
That's the Mesozoic era.
You got to
go back 2 years over there. It's the same system that stunk last year. Stunk.
All right. Well,
so now we're getting ancient history and Mike Francesa in the same conversation.
It's also the same system that was the number one defense on third down. The NFL hasn't changed that much in a year and a half.
The 2017 Buck defense was bad. I don't care what the third down numbers said. It was the one crazy number that jumped out at you, but overall, it was terrible. Now, I'll say it again, gentlemen. I'm glad you're sitting down. They are on pace. The record points, I think, is 533. They're on pace for 550. Yes. The record for touchdowns is 66. Same team, 81 Colts. Mm-hmm. 81 Colts, same team. They're on pace for 70. They've given up 35 touchdowns in 8 games. Do the math, Mr. Isbitz. I know you weren't very good in algebra, but That comes out to almost 4.5 per game. Touchdowns. How bad is that? That's as bad as it gets.
That's dude. How bad it is. Listen.
On cue, right here, the emergency vehicles. All right, now, Lee, Steve asked the logical question. What is the crux of the problem? Is it personnel? Is it injuries? It's not injuries. They were lousy with Quan Alexander in there. They were lousy. We're not going to blame this all on little Chris Conte, are we? Or Vernon Hargraves. I mean, no, let's not be crazy here. Or MJ Stewart. I think the system stinks. I think they don't change it from week to week. That's a big problem from opponent to opponent. Teams look like they know where the Buck defenders are going to be. When they line up in a certain way, it's too predictable, and they don't contest passes. Anything else you got, Lee, you want to throw into the mix?
Pretty much covers it.
And the pass rush is a little bit better. A little bit better.
From two guys who were not on the roster last year. Three guys, actually. You know, when Curry's in there, he doesn't do so bad. Nassib, who someone in the Bucks organization once told me was nothing more than a jag, which means just a guy. And, of course, JPP.
Light seems to do better when he picks guys up off the scrap heap rather than target somebody in free agency, Steve. Why is that?
I don't know, Ira. I can't even get involved with this stuff anymore. I don't even know what to say. It's a horrible team that's gotten progressively worse. If we all sat here again, I've said it before, in August and said, hey, if Dirk Cutter loses 5 out of 6 in the first half of the season at any point, you think he'll be fired? Yeah, of course. The talent is better than it was years ago, and they still stink, and they're getting embarrassed. I mean, Carolina let up. They let up in that game.
That's the point. These teams let up. They let up.
They could have kicked a field goal. They didn't even put Graham Gano on the field. They went for it on 4th and 1 and then 4th and 6, and they were laughing when they didn't get it.
How about the fake punt, gentlemen? Any problems with it, Steven?
It's stupid.
Is it lost in the flotsam and jetsam?
I don't have an issue with the fake punt. It just screamed desperation.
Screams desperation.
When and where it was. About 25-yard line? 28-yard line?
I think it was 4th and 9.
It just screamed desperation. And unfortunately, later in the game, they brought it down to 2 scores. Well, that would have been 1 score had they kicked or punted it, you would think. Like I said, I don't have it. You know, part of me wanted to say, way to go, Dirk. You're being creative. That's great. But the other part of me, the common sense lobe of my brain, like, man, on your 28-yard line? Oof. That screams desperation.
It was 4th and 7, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it might have been 4th and 9. Maybe 4th and 9.
So, Ira, I mean, Dirk Cutter keeps playing percentages with us and trying to trick us like fools sometimes.
And tell us about the analytics department that they have.
Now, if you fake a punt on 4th and 2, then at least you got a run-pass option there, and it's a little bit different. The defense has to play it a little bit differently. But what do you think the odds are, 4th and 7, on a fake punt?
It told me he doesn't want the other team to have the ball.
No.
Ding, ding,
Sage.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding.
What are the odds? What's the percentages? Well, Lee, Ira, what do you think?
15%.
Oh, I'd say less than that.
So Lee's going 12?
I'd say 7.
7, 1 out of 13 times
you
make
it? Maybe you catch him by surprise. You know, I'm giving
or a penalty or something.
I'll say 10%. That's all. 1 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say like 7%. It's low.
Maybe even 15%. Maybe. So, but what are the odds of Ryan Fitzpatrick just getting up there on 4th and 7, spreading 4 wide, and throwing the football?
Maybe 20%.
Yeah, exactly. So just go for it.
Mr. Percentage.
Just go for it. Again, you got the guys. You got the guys that can catch the freaking football.
You know, that's what I always forget. They've got the best targets in the league, and he doesn't utilize them.
What the hell was that? I mean, you're telling me there's no play in the playbook for 4th and 7?
So, Steve, you're it's unbelievable. Here we are. The season's only half over. And Isbitz is looking at 2019. Who might be available in free agency?
You like John Harbaugh?
What kind of draft pick can they get? Unbelievable.
You like John Harbaugh, Ira?
Yes, I do.
I do, too?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Lee, you like Harbaugh?
I wouldn't be against him, but I'm more get an offensive guy in here to help out Jameis. And I'm big on Andy Reid's coaching tree. But forget Belichick. I mean, when Bill O'Brien's your best disciple, stay away. And I know some people on JoeBucksFan.com are saying Josh McDaniels. Give me a break. I'll take Raheem over Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels never had a winning season. Raheem won 10 games. So, as Steve loves to point out, with Josh Freeman throwing to Mo Stovall. I'm looking at Andy Reid coach tree. DeFilippo with Minnesota, if you can't get him, I would try this Eric Bieniemy. Now, Eric Bieniemy with the Chiefs, as you well know, Ari, you're a Chiefs fan, he's never been a quarterback. So I would bring in Bieniemy if he brings his quarterback coach to the offensive coordinator.
But and late.
Take a guess who that is. Former Bucks quarterback Matt Kafka. Is it Mike? Mike Kafka.
Mike Kafka.
Yeah.
Nice, Lee.
No, the pride of Northwestern.
Now, Lee, you're leaving out a big part. Somebody's got to run this defense, and the whole defensive staff has to be replaced.
There was two guys I would keep. Duffner as linebacker's coach, and our buddy on defensive line.
That probably won't happen, though.
Probably won't happen.
Now, Steve, you know, you like Buckner like I like Buckner. He hasn't distinguished himself. Brinson Buckner hasn't distinguished himself.
No, not at all.
Just hasn't.
Overall, no, but he's doing something with Nassib. But overall, I would say no, but you could pinpoint a player or two. You know, obviously, JP's having one of his best seasons ever.
Steve, 11 years without a player. When does it end? When does this freaking drought end?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know what they do with head coach. I just hope that they've already started looking. That's all I can say. I hope that they've got a full plan of attack. I mean, look at the Chargers. Complete team. Dangerous team.
Dangerous
team. Good football team. Their head coach didn't even have coordinator experience. He was an interim coordinator.
But guess what the Chargers have?
Veteran
quarterback.
Thank you.
But also a quarterback.
A good quarterback, not just a veteran.
On a flip side, a quarterback that a lot of people thought was washed up 4 years ago. Phillip Rivers. You know, but they stuck with him. And he
had a good running game.
Good resume before that. They've also got the guy who might be the best running back in L.A. And may not be Todd Gurley. You know, with what Melvin Gordon's doing. So, I don't know. There's so many holes on this team. There's no running back.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no...
And they also happen to play in the best division in football. Yeah. They do. No question about it.
I don't know, Ira. What do you want fans to think? It's your sage wisdom here. They're all hurting. They're all in disbelief. They all see a team that looks like it's quitting on defense.
Look, knowing the Glazers like we know the Glazers...
I don't know.
At least one or two Glazers are starting to think ahead. I mean, that's what they do. That's what they do.
That's a smart thing.
You know, that's what they did with Greg Schiano. It's what they did with Lovie Smith.
Did they?
I think so. And then it was accelerated when they had the end of the season meetings with Jason Light and Cutter. But if we always talk about which direction's the team going, the franchise, which way's the arrow
down.
Going. Right now, it's, you know, they're looking at the equator. Steve, how did this happen so fast? I mean, this is a team that was supposed to be 0-3. They end up being 2-0. Fitzpatrick's going crazy. And here we are, you know, six, eight weeks later, saying that we're looking at 2019. Lee, what happened? What happened, Lee?
Well, we
did say in September that we don't think this is sustainable. We said it's probably not sustainable.
What was not sustainable?
The success, the early success.
Because,
look, they gave up 40 to New Orleans. Now, it's Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But they gave up 40.
Yeah, it was a signal.
And we didn't think the defense could keep it up. We didn't. They didn't run the ball particularly well. So that was another problem. But I didn't envision 5 losses in 6 games. I did not.
To answer your question, where did it start? I think you can narrow that question to, and this is my question. I don't know. Anybody else's, I don't know, but it's my question. What the hell happened with Jameis in the 3 weeks he was gone? Something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he got taught lousy mechanics. I don't know if something got in his head. I have no idea. Something happened. I know he's a different quarterback now than he was prior to the season. Something happened.
That's a big part of it, because when Winston came in as a starter for the first time this year, they were 2-2. They hadn't dug themselves a hole. It was 2-2. And
winnable games.
You know, winnable games. And then he's a turnover machine. I mean, that's what happened, Steve. But I still think the number one culprit is a historically bad defense. You can't get around that. Now, that's not helped by the giveaways.
You can't get around it.
You can't get around it.
They've benched the franchise quarterback.
I understand.
And they're not even afraid of money. He was the backup.
I understand. Right? But Fitzpatrick just threw another 4 touchdowns and they lost. Just threw another 4 touchdowns. They lost.
I understand. I watched the game. And he also went out there and did exactly what they didn't want him to do to start the game, throw a pick.
Well, you're not going to blame the 35-7 deficit on the Buck offense. Now, come on. They gave up five straight touchdown drives, Lee. Who does that?
It's terrible.
You can't absolve the offense either. 7 points in the halftime. I don't care who you're playing. That's not good.
14. They ended 14 up with 14. But they threw a pick.
I mean, down 30, down 35-7.
Down 35-7.
Yeah, I mean, you can't absolve the offense.
All right, Ira, look, let me redirect you a little bit here.
Do we have anything positive, Steve? You got anything?
Sure.
I mean, you
got to love what Adam Humphries did on Sunday.
O.J. Howard.
In many ways, the Panthers said, you know what, we're going to take away Mike Evans. We're going to lock down the long ball. We'll let Adam Humphries beat us. And he sort of did. You know, he's 8 catches, 2 touchdowns.
I was surprised.
Career day.
I was surprised Cutter called out Mike Evans on Sunday night. He did it again on Monday. I'm a little surprised. He doesn't normally do that. He doesn't normally do it.
He's trying to push some buttons, I guess. I mean, he didn't have a good game. I don't know why
he's already pushed a panic button, so why not some more buttons?
You know, I thought they targeted him too often in the first half because he wasn't getting any separation, Lee. He wasn't getting any separation.
Right.
And, 10 targets and 1 catch, that hurts you big time.
That may have been his worst game ever.
And, Ira, he wasn't getting any separation against a cornerback chosen in the 3rd round.
How'd you like that little nugget I threw into my 10 takeaways over there?
Of the 2016 draft.
That's right.
3rd round pick.
I don't know if Lee read my column, but I'll throw it out at Lee. By the time the Panthers tabbed Bradbury late in the 2nd round, right? It was late. Third round. So it must have been
third
early
round, yeah.
Yeah, 3rd round.
I believe.
Yeah. I think he might have been 66th pick. So by that time, the Bucs had already made 3 picks. Vernon Hargraves, Noah Spence, and Roberto Aguayo.
And they're getting
those
zero.
3 were Bucs.
Yeah.
And the Panthers went out and found this kid out of Samford. Not Stanford. Samford. And the kid was sensational.
Dog's old school.
Boy, was he aggressive.
Well, think about this, Ira.
Aggressive.
Think about this, Ira. And I think I wrote this Sunday night. You want to know what the difference between the Panthers and the Bucks are? Panthers get contributions from their draft picks. The Bucks, there's three drafts in the last 5 years, with the exception of one player out of all 3 drafts, they've got Bupkis for.
That's
for
good stuff, Lee.
You know, Mike Evans, obviously a superstar. You take Mike Evans away from that draft class, nothing.
That was Light's first draft class. Yes.
And this last spring's draft, nothing. Well, Ronald Jones.
We don't want to judge him too quick. Not too quick.
Well, no, but the Panthers are getting production from rookies. Bucks aren't.
And then you're going to say 2016.
Yeah, which is a wash.
Yeah, it's a wash, yeah.
So the Panthers, it's real simple. Panthers are getting impact in production from their draft picks, the Bucks largely. Not all, but largely or not. That's that simple.
Sage, well, you know what? As we said, Thursday we will dive into Jason Light. I've been typing up notes, not now, but I have at home. We'll go right into Mr. Light. And I think at least on the upside, again, I told you my focus is on next year. I think all this contract stuff is sort of working itself out. Quan and maybe Donovan Smith isn't paying enough for a new coach to want to pay him. Who knows? DeSean Jackson's not going to be back, so there's $10 million
And we don't know about McCoy. And we don't know about McCoy. You know,
he's got a lot to prove in these last bunch of games. He is due $13 million next year. Will Golston, $6, $7 million, he's not going to come back.
No.
Grimes looks like, unfortunately,
Look at Steve uncover all the cash.
So I was thinking the same
thing. Open the
so
cash.
After all the chatter of the Bucks and, how they're going to pay everybody, they'll probably have $40 million and we'll be playing free agency football again.
All right, now I want to make one other point, and it's not an uplifting one, but I think I think it's true. Here's another layer on top of the last 4 years of Buck ineptitude, for the most part, except for the 9-7 season, for the most part. Here's another layer. They haven't put much money into the quarterback position, and you got to make hay when you do that. And start next year, unless they go out and draft another quarterback, which they might.
Be a waste of time unless they get in first.
But there's a chance that Winston comes back, and it ain't going to be for $6 million. So that's no longer going to hold truly, so they didn't take advantage of Winston being on a rookie contract. They didn't take advantage of it.
I got to mention this. And when I freaked out on you a week or so ago.
You mean when I started screaming?
We were both. And, I mentioned who the hell you're going to draft because there's nobody out there.
Right.
Well, I forgot all about Will Grier. He used to be at Florida. went to West Virginia. I don't know if you saw that West Virginia-Texas game. He was lights out in 16 seconds left. He had the prettiest pass for a game. Eventually, it was a game-winning touchdown because he scored a two-point conversion. 16 seconds left, 33-yard pass, just beautiful. I mean, no one could have dropped it in the bucket better than that pass. That, he was under pressure. He steps outside the pocket, and I mean, just perfect.
Look at this. Lee's got his eye on a new quarterback over there.
But I don't know, you know, if the Bucs have a chance to get him. They could lose out and still not have a chance to get him. Because we both, all of us know here that, you know, quarterbacks are going to go high in the draft because you don't have one, you need one. Otherwise, you're going to be in quarterback purgatory. So I don't know if the Bucs have the ammunition to trade up to get the guy.
Steve, is there any chance in your mind, and I said any, that if the Bucs are 3-6, they don't start Winston at the Meadowlands? Is there any chance?
Sure, because I'm surprised that Team Glazer is not putting him in right now. And I
like order from above?
Well, he's saying right now, 3-5, season over.
They're not putting him on the shelf because he's the backup. And what are you doing? I mean, where are you going?
I think they're thinking like Lee DeCamper. We might be able to win the next three games. That's
okay,
what
you win the next three. Does that make you a much better football team? I mean, where are they going here?
They're not ready to give up on this season with this offense.
So are they going to the Super Bowl? Is that the thought process at one buck?
Well, they're not thinking Super Bowl, but maybe they can get the 9-9 wins.
Or which won't make the playoffs.
Make it interesting.
You know what this reminds me of? This is almost to a T how this is being played out. When I was a kid growing up in Illinois, you know, the old St. Louis Cardinals. Remember Bud Wilkinson at Elira?
Was
that right before your time? Yeah, and he was a Cardinals coach for a couple years.
Did not do well.
He did not. He took over for Coryell. Did not do well. Well, anyway, his second year there, the Cardinals were like, they were crap. They were terrible. When Coryell was there, against Coryell's wishes, Bill Bidwell ordered the general manager to draft a guy by the name of Steve Pazarkowitz from the University of Missouri.
Oh.
Yeah, you know where I'm going here.
Oh.
Well, Pazarkowitz was on the bench. Coryell, of course, wouldn't play him. He got fired. Wilkinson refused to play him. So there's no way. I'm not going to take the losses. You know, I might as well just get fired right now. And Bidwell said, no, you're playing him. We got to see what we have in the guy. Wilkinson, I'm not playing him because it's a guaranteed loss. We start him. Bidwell said, see ya. He got in Larry Wilson as a puppet, then, you know, the Hall of Famer, plugged him in as interim coach. And part of the deal was, you have to play Steve Pazarkowitz.
Nobody knows St. Louis Cardinal history like DeKeffer. Nobody.
So Steve Pazark, go ahead and Google that name. He was awful.
Steve, maybe one of the maybe one of the factors besides the Bucks, brass not ready to give up on the season quite yet. Maybe a factor is you don't want to play. You don't want Winston's first game back to be at home. That could be something.
That's interesting.
Put him on the road.
Because fans have turned on him.
A lot of the fans have turned on him, Steve. That could be a factor. But I think the bigger factor is that the people that count are not quite ready to give up on any hope for this season. Neither is DeCamper, and God bless him.
You know, I'm not about to put $5 down, or much less 50 cents, that these guys are going to do anything. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
I'm not sure stranger things have happened.
They're playing the Redskins, Giants, and 49ers. I'm just telling you who they're playing.
Right, but where are we going with this?
Didn't Josh Allen upset somebody this year?
They are favored. They are favored strange. Against the Skins. They're favored.
Okay, Ira, look. If they go 6-5.
If they go 6-5.
Then what are we doing? Does that mean they're a measurably better football team that can compete against a good team?
Well, then Carolina comes to town. There's going to end up be a lot of excitement in this town with a three-game winning streak. It's highly unlikely, Steve. It's highly unlikely.
I think the Glazers are being good businessmen. They could win the next three games.
They're hedging their bet a little bit right now.
I hear you. I'm just thinking that, you know what, if they do win the next three, let's say they win the next three, then they've got how many left? They got five left. If they go 2-3 against a tough slate, what have you accomplished? You've gone 8-8. What are you doing with no quarterback?
And by the way, just as a little coming attraction for our listeners about Thursday's podcast, which we'll examine Mr. Light, and Lee and I joked about it a couple hours ago. If the Bucks go 3-5 in the second half, like they went in the first half, and finish 6-10.
Here comes your Dominic line.
There we go. He will have, say it again with me, Steve, the same exact record as Rockstar GM Mark Domin, 28-52.
Oh, I got here.
Is that anything to hang your hat on, Stephen?
here's what I wanted to bring up, Ira. There's a lot of chatter out there, basically among fans. We need a president of football operations.
It's out there. It's out there.
Isn't that what a general manager is for? You know, I don't understand. I do not understand it for the life of me. First off, in recent history, people who've been given that label have been failures. Miami still hasn't recovered from Parcells being the president of football operations. Mike Holmgren, as the president of football operations, was terrible with the Browns. They haven't recovered. Bill Walsh had a little success.
Coughlin had some success last year, Coughlin.
And how's he doing this year?
Struggling.
And
struggling.
He loves he loves Bortles. And what people seem to forget is the only guy Coughlin drafted of any consequence is Fournette. All those other guys Dave Caldwell drafted, that wasn't under Coughlin. So, you know, everybody's like, you know,
but
with themselves that Coughlin's this great football stage. And I love Coughlin. I don't understand invoking, that's not the word I'm looking for, but invoking a layer of bureaucracy into a team. Well, the football guy operation could do this, he could do that. That's what a general manager's for. That's what a freaking general manager is for, number one. Number two, you know, I think Whitey Herzog walks on the water. I worship that man. And he was telling me one time he had the best setup with the Cardinals. Why was that? He said, well, obviously he was a GM, but he said, I had direct access to the owner. I didn't have to go through anybody. I wanted anything, I went to the owner, he took care of things. John Madden has more than once said he had the best situation in Oakland. Why was that? He said he shared an office with the owner. He had direct access to the owner. Do people see a pattern here? Why create a second level or an additional level of bureaucracy that you got to go through another person? I mean, Belichick, who does he go through? He doesn't. He goes straight to Kraft. Green Bay, McCarthy, he goes straight to Murphy. I could go on and on. I don't understand this football operation. President of football operations, that's a general manager. All the things you want a president of football operations to do is what a general manager is supposed to do. I just don't understand this.
Steve, we just had a shocking moment in this podcast. We need to mark it and recognize it.
What's that?
Dick Kemper said he worships Whitey Herzog. I thought he worshipped Miss September. Well, what the hell's going on around here? Whitey Herzog, you going to match him up against that brunette over there, huh? The Kemper? Come on, now. You got to mark these moments. These are memorable moments. Now, you've been looking at this computer screen. I'm getting a little nervous. When you look at the computer, I get nervous. What do you got?
When he whips out a pen is when you got to get nervous.
What do you got there, Steve?
I don't have anything exciting for you, Ira. What can I tell you? The Whitey Herzog line didn't shock me there like
so
it
you're
did you.
You're saying 6-5. You're not going to.
Looky, Ira.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. I've got his cell number.
Yep. Nice. Ask him if he wants to be on a podcast.
He'd be awesome.
Hey, I got to back Coughlin a little bit. He did hire the right head coach.
Yes, Jim Marrone.
And that's a lot of people do want the president guy to hire the head coach. But I agree with, in theory, that a GM is what he's supposed to do. There are plenty of teams that have good GMs, and they did draft the big left tackle, their franchise left tackle in the second round. They had a good draft outside of the first out of Fournette, who has been killing Ira in fantasy football.
Steve, you've been listening to me harp on this one point, and tell me if you think I'm making too much of it. You've been watching a lot of football over the years. I always go back to the trenches, Lee. I go back. If you own them, you're going to do well. You're going to usually do well. And if you're getting beat up there, it's very difficult to do well.
Yeah.
And I just don't think the Bucs are nearly good enough, Steve. Run blocking is terrible. It's terrible.
I would say pass blocking is terrible.
Well, Cutter's been saying he thinks pass blocking
I should qualify that. Benenock can't pass block save his life. You're right.
Run blocking was terrible Sunday against Carolina. Peyton Barber buried. He had one good run. Other than that, he averaged 1 yard a carry on his other 10 carries. And the pass rush, you know, and the run defense all of a sudden looks leaky. It does.
Now
Joe Mixon looked like Barry Sanders.
It's bad, Ira.
And, you know, the front seven doesn't have any physicality
to
it.
Yeah, they're getting gashed up the middle now.
With all the guys that Light brought in the offseason, how could this happen?
Maybe there was a reason they aren't with the Eagles anymore. We can remember Curry got cut. Curry was cut. He was not a free agent. Well, he technically was because he got cut.
And I'm not gonna close a book on Vita Vea, but he's getting pushed around. And I saw him on the goal line. They knocked them 3 yards backwards.
When I said Vernon Curry, I should be bluntly honest. He's one of the three defensive linemen are getting quality play from. Even though he was cut, I don't mean to infer that he got cut. He's garbage. He's actually getting some production. The Bucs are getting production from him, as they are with Nassib, as they are with JPP. But Villa, you want to talk about Beckles? Beckles, first Sapp can't stand him. Beckles isn't quite ready to call him. And this is Beckles' words, not mine. I'm not ready to call him a bust yet because, you know, he had no training camp.
No training camp. Yeah.
But Beckles wants to call him Velcro.
Oh,
because he can't shed a block.
Oh, boy.
And that's a good point. You know, he bull rushes okay, but he doesn't shed blocks. You know, the jury's still out on him. He's young, no training camp.
Sage, excuse me, Sage, the Vea situation, Chris Hovan was on with our friend Rock Riley on Monday and basically saying that he really doesn't like the rotation and the way they're using all the defensive linemen, that they just haven't found the right mix. On Vea, he's like, look, the guy can't pass rush. And he said, I don't have a problem with that. I couldn't pass rush either. But they got to stop putting Vea out there. This is Hovan talking. Stop putting him out there on passing downs. Let him get his run game down.
He's a two-down tackle.
Let him get his two-down game down overall. And rotate the other guys better. He doesn't like the mix. And he said one other thing, Ira, which was very telling. And he really wasn't ripping the buck. He was just giving his straight takes. He said, I feel like all the guys aren't believing in the system right now. And how do you fix that in a hurry? If they've already fired the defensive coordinator. It's just so bad, it's not even funny. And I agree with you. This is a veteran D-line. And I think the production stinks. I mean, even with a couple of guys making a few plays, it's bad.
And even Pierre Paul didn't play a good game on Sunday.
I mean,
he was the one stalwart. Yeah, he was
shut down by a guy who was on the street earlier this season. That's the Panthers' left tackle. They're just more physical. It's a mentality.
It is a mentality.
Mentality, and we don't have it.
That's why I didn't like the matchup going in. I told you guys, I think Carolina's too physical for them. And, hey, that's one thing I like about Harbaugh, by the way. You mentioned Harbaugh. Harbaugh coaches physical football.
Yeah.
It's one thing about Baltimore. You know, they've had some tough years. I don't think they've drafted very well the last 3 or 4 years, and it's caught up to them. Harbaugh coaches physical football.
Here's a question for you, Sage, before we hit the road. Do you think the next coach, and again, I'm focused on the future because I'm just trying to be realistic here. Do you think the next coach has to be a name kind of guy for the sense of competing with the big name coaches in this division? Because they are all big name coaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
I wouldn't call Quinn a big name.
Well, he's been to a Super Bowl. He has not had a losing.
A lot of guys have been to a Super Bowl.
Not that many. And he's hasn't had a losing season. I mean, that's impressive.
I want a guy who can adapt to the modern game, because the modern game is quite different than the game, Lee, that you and I watched in the 70s and
80s. Yeah, it is.
It's just different. You better be able to cover or rush. And you know what? I'm starting to think now, here I go into my amateur football mode, but you can't breathe on these receivers. They're so good, and they get in and out of their cuts. They make fantastic catches. Well, look at Olsen. I mean, that's
yeah,
a fantastic catch.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that the only way to play consistent pass defense is rush the hell out of the quarterback and take your chances.
Yeah,
and I'm starting to think that way. You got to harass the guy and jump a couple of routes, and if they burn you deep, they burn you deep. But did you tell me today that if you play zone defense, you're going to get killed in the NFL? Somebody
Phil
said
Sims
that?
Said that on Chris Russo's show last week.
You're
going to
get carved up.
He said, if you play zone defense, you'll get fired. That's the exact quote.
You can't stop these people.
Well, that's fun that you brought that up, because that brings me to another name, another guy who might be out there or who is out there who might want to come back and who plays that style of defense, Rex Ryan. Rex in the zero blitzes, and he'll come after you, and he wants to take chances, and he harasses quarterbacks. It's his whole defensive philosophy.
Buddy Ryan thought like that too, Lee. Hound the quarterback. Force mistakes. Can it be any worse than having one interception in 8 games? Can it give me
like
any
I said,
worse?
I don't want to get going on a game of chance rant.
I like aggressive defense, not sit back and look at the Panthers. How did they put a lot of heat on Fitzpatrick? They blitz guys off the edge, and the Bucks didn't pick them up. I thought it was a terrible day for the Buck running backs on pass protection. Terrible. They were late. They picked up the wrong guy. You saw it a bunch of times. And if the blitzer didn't get, you know, Fitzpatrick down, it was Mario Addison looking like Mario Williams. and he had a monster game. And it wasn't all Donovan Smith's fault. It wasn't. The Panthers were very effective blitzing, Steve. And Fitzpatrick's a veteran quarterback. So if you blitz a veteran quarterback, imagine what you can do against Mitch Trubisky. But the Bucks don't do it. This soft defense
all right,
is for the
Sage, birds. You know what? And I think that sums it up well. Because, you know what? That game Sunday, we cannot forget. That Panthers game, that was or should have been treated as such. That was the Super Bowl for the Bucks, and they came out and got their asses whooped. And all the adjectives we've used over the years, boat race, chain whip, seal clubbed, they got destroyed in what was their Super Bowl.
And that was a franchise record first half for the Panthers.
Steve, since you brought up seal clubbing, what story was that that I I was sitting there giggling. There was a story.
This is just a funny phrase.
This is what I honest to God, I did this. I can't remember. There was some story 5-8 years ago that I referenced seal clubbing. I actually used a photo of a guy clubbing a seal.
Oh, see, now I don't even want to think about
that. Well,
it wasn't
the impact. It was like a guy was, you know, like a baseball bat. The guy was like, you know, winding up, but it was a still photo, and people went bananas on me. Take that down. That's gross.
Now, Steve, before you wrap up, we're leaving one thing out. Get out there, people, on Tuesday.
What, riot?
And vote.
Oh.
I don't care how you vote, but vote. If you don't vote, keep your mouth shut for the next 2 years because you don't have earned the right to say anything about our political world. If you don't exercise your right. How do you like that, Steve? There's my little political
And, of course, you can vote on how you feel about the podcast at iTunes, Podbean, or Google Play. Leave a review. And, Sage, let me throw you out here on two rapid-fire questions, right? And, of course, we thank, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Let me send you out on this. Ira, first, Ryan Griffin, he's on the roster. He's eating up a spot. Everybody says they don't know what to make of him because he's never played, but they like him. So, obviously, Dirk Koetter is calling the shots here with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's got a lot of power if he's benching Jameis. Can we see Griffin? Maybe he is the future. Are we going to see this guy this year?
You would have had a much, much better case if Winston had been traded or released. And then I would have argued that at 3-6, I would have played. I'll play Ryan Griffin the final seven games, but you can't play Griffin ahead of Winston because that begs the question, Lee. What's Winston doing on the roster if you're going to play Ryan Griffin ahead of him? This is the final seven weeks.
That's why I was keen to see what the inactive list was going to be for Sunday. And obviously, Jameis was active. So.
I don't know anybody outside of One Buck Place that shares Cutter's love and enthusiasm for Ryan Griffin.
Not even Sean Payton?
We don't know. The kid hasn't thrown a ball. Yeah, he looks good in preseason, you know. So did Chris Chandler.
Is he going to get a shot this year, you think? Will Ryan Griffin start a game?
Barring injuries, no.
All right, Sage. And I guess last but not least, I got to ask you this. Because you know how the game works here as we march toward the end of the season. Do you think this locker room implodes with either from DeSean Jackson or other guys on social media? Mecole Grimes is out there as a wild card. And you've got Jameis himself who might ask to be let go at the end of the season. Do you think the locker room makes it to the end of the year? Forget about the coach. Forget about anybody else. Does the locker room stay intact? Because you've witnessed a lot of bad locker rooms in your 40 years covering the NFL. You know what it looks like. You know where it goes a lot of times as Thanksgiving approaches and vacations and tea times become the focus. Where is this thing going?
Lee, I take no pleasure in saying this, and you may not agree with me. I'm not sure there's enough passion in that locker room to implode, Lee.
You may be right.
I'm not sure. I don't see it. I don't see it on a weekly basis. I'm not saying one teammate should attack each other after a tough loss, but can somebody get on a soapbox and say this has to stop? I think Robert Ayers did a little bit of that 2 years ago during the bye week. I think it helped when they did the five-game winning streak. A lot of people talked about Robert Ayers as the voice of authority. And if you've ever been in Robert Ayers' grill, you know that when he talks, you better listen. I don't know if the Bucks have anybody like that. I don't think JPP's built like that. McCoy, Levante David, Quan Alexander's not around. Brent Grimes ain't getting in nobody's face. Who's going to do it, Steve? I there's a lot of dissatisfaction, but I don't see enough to say there's a cancer in the locker room or people are mad as hell. I just don't see it. And you know what? Ultimately, I don't think that's a compliment necessarily. Like, I don't think it's a compliment to say that not enough people hate losing enough. That's not a good thing to say about a locker room.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. And I read a story this morning. I think it was Peter King's column where he was, of course, writing a Patriots story, and some players.
Guys in Foxborough every other week, man. Yeah. I'm tired of it.
Well,
come,
and
come
before
to Tampa.
That,
you want to see some football? Come to Tampa.
And before that, it was Brett Favre. Yes, but anyway, yes. Peter King was talking to someone with the Patriots who had played elsewhere, and he just said, "Well, the difference between here and elsewhere is people just hate to lose that much. It's not so much about winning; they just hate to lose, and they'll do whatever it takes."
All right, Sage, damning commentary from you right there. Not enough passion to implode is your take as of today. And, of course, that could change. We will see you Thursday, the Jason Light episode. And
vote, 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 vote.